every single time.
It's true. Every time. Hey, hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Hi. I can see your boobies.
I shouldn't. This totally requires a tank top, which I did not put on.
But you know.
Sorry, people. There's no video tonight. But I'm telling you, my breasts are practically falling out of my shirt. It's a true statement.
Hi.
And then I changed my nipple rings.
Hey!
I got the shields on.
Hi.
And it's interesting because it's kind of it hurts, but it's like an okay hurt. It's awesome, actually.
It hurts
so good, as the 80s song goes. Hey, so you're listening to Intellectual Kink.
Hi.
I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And we're sorry we weren't here last week.
So it turns out
the Service Slut was sick. And then the me was like, whatever. I'm not going to do it. I was like, I guess I could scramble and try and find somebody. And I could have. I could have scrambled and found somebody to do the show. But you know what? I've discovered, here's the one interesting thing about us, is that we work really, really, really well together.
Because we're a team.
We have fantastic chemistry. And it's one of those things, whenever one of the duo is not in, it's just not the same.
Nope.
It just isn't. I'm not even saying they're bad shows, and we love the people that come in and pitch, but it's not fair to them. Because then people will come in and be like, well, I mean, they were okay, but it just wasn't as good of a show. And it's just because it doesn't have us.
Right,
so
right.
It might even be better for those occasions to not have. I had one time when it was just me, and the phones were down.
Oh.
And it wasn't live. We were having all the technical issues. It was a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
It was really hard to fill up an hour. I mean, I was talking about 50 Shades of Grey, but still.
Oh, God.
Really hard to fill up an hour. I mean, I had a lot to say, but still.
Right, right.
I wouldn't recommend that.
But luckily tonight is 50 Shades of Grey is not our topic.
No, it is not our topic. Oh, it is not our topic. We're going to talk about mindfuck.
My favorite thing ever.
You know, you say that, and then whenever mindfuck happens, you kind of like get this, I don't know, like you're a dog about to be beaten or something. I don't know. There's some look. I don't know what it is. There's terror. There's fear. There's like this melange of emotions upon your face.
You try not knowing French and then getting yelled at in French and then stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that is a specific kind of mindfucking in a scene, but obviously, yeah. No, well, that's awesome. You liked it when you were the dog, though. You did.
And you learned. My God.
You learned. I wonder if you still know the commands.
I loved that so much. Like,
I wish I had like a stick or something or a ball or whatever. I had to make you fetch anal beads. That was fucking hilarious. I could not keep it together. I'm laughing.
I couldn't keep it together either.
It was awesome. And I forgot the French word for stick. Like, what the fuck is the French word for stick? Whatever. It's one of those things that just doesn't come up. Anyway, so mindfuck. It's really interesting how when I was thinking about this, we love it, all tops, all dominants love the mindfuck. It's fun. It's very powerful. It's a very instant way to kind of, in effect, you know, assert your dominance over a person. It's just fun. It's just fun to watch somebody else freak out. It's awesome. But the funny thing is, people are like, well, what's a mind fuck? I mean, let me be honest. If I were to go to somebody and, you know, threaten to kill them, that's not a mind fuck.
No.
Why is that not a mind fuck? Because I'm never going to fucking kill someone. It's just not going to happen. I don't particularly want to take that karmic hit. It's just not something I want to do.
Right.
And so it's not effective. A mind fuck has to have an element of reality in order for it to be effective. And that, to me, is where you have to really understand the subtle nuances of your partner.
Oh, yeah. I think it mindfuck is definitely in the vein of, in that context, it's in the same vein as humiliation or race play, that kind of thing. There's certain subtleties that you have to know about your partner. And, I mean, it's not even, yes, for their safety, but another part of it is that it gives you ammunition to do all of those things.
No, I mean, it's true. And you don't have to follow through with the thing that you mindfuck somebody with, but following through, it takes your relationship to a different level, if that makes sense, especially depending on the severity of what you've threatened, et cetera, et cetera. But also, it doesn't have to be severe. Mindfucking can be so super subtle.
Yeah.
One of my absolute favorite things to do, as Little Miss Nancy will let you know, on, let's say, so we're going to hit a dungeon any given weekend like we do. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to think about what is it that I want to do? What genre of play is it that I want to do? And the thing, and I've said this before, and I will say it again, so just get used to me repeating it. The thing about Nancy is that she's not a pain slut. So I have to continually think outside of the box. I have to come up with original and different and interesting scene ideas, play ideas. Additionally, I really hate repeating myself. I really hate doing the same scene over and over again. That's just fucking boring. I hate that as a top. It just drives me insane. So then my mind goes a little crazy and I go out there and there's all these, oh, could I do this? Do I do this? It often happens when I'm driving or in traffic. Yay, LA. It's because what else are you going to do during traffic? I mean, you could download and listen to all of the intellectual kinks and previous love bites. That is something you could do. But if you aren't doing that, then you should think about scene ideas. Did you like that? Did you like that?
Was that wow. Good?
Anyway, so then I'll be like, you know, cruising along. And I'll be like, oh, I want to do this. And I want to do this. And I want to do this. But what do I need for these things? And then I'll send Nancy a text. Nancy, I need you to get me tarps, two different colors of duct tape, glitter, body paint, and, you know, and this list of things. And she'll be like, what the fuck?
And then it turns into, what do all of these things have in common? What is the common link?
Exactly.
Which, it could be anything. It can be anything. And really, what ends up happening is, well, obviously, I go on a wild goose chase to gather all those items, but my mind goes on a fucking trip trying to figure out what it is. I inevitably find out when, you know...
It happens.
It happens.
I'm always curious. How... Are you ever close?
Sometimes.
See?
Sometimes.
How do you feel at that?
Most of the time I feel okay. Like, it's not a big deal. But then, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, man.
If only I hadn't figured it out.
Yeah.
It's like shaking your Christmas presents and trying to figure that out. And then you're like, oh, well, that's what it is. I already know. It's like you've already received the present early. That's why you don't shake your Christmas presents. That's why you don't open them beforehand and rewrap them. Don't do that.
Right. But, you know, there's also a component of fear, you know. For us, we've discussed, you know, taking things to the next level and, you know, I don't know what the fuck that looks like. I mean, I have a vague idea, but I mean, ultimately, you're the one that drives the relationship and the things that we do. So I don't know.
Oh, that's fine. I need to send you a text. Continue talking while I do.
You need to send me a text. Okay. So, I mean, for instance, you know, we're going to do a demo next week.
All right.
On faking. And there was a point in time where I didn't like things up my ass. I didn't want to even explore that.
It's true.
And then I did, and then it was okay, and then it's okay, whatever. But now, you know, figging, that introduces an entirely new element to putting things in or around my asshole. So that's kind of scary, you know? And so for me, like something like that, you know, because it's something that is for the first time, like, I don't know how I would feel about that being a mind fuck because I'm already so fucking amped up and scared and nervous about what the figging is going to be like that I don't know that I can, balance that with the headspace necessary to welcome the mind fuck.
Well, and here's the thing about that specifically is that for that, I mean, it's a demo. Number one, and people going in, I don't know of people that often go into subspace during a demo.
Right.
It's just not a common thing. I love it that we're having this whole under the table conversation people can't see. It's awesome. They wouldn't even be able to see it on video because it's texting and then it's facial expressions. Anyway. So that's one thing, but we're going to do a dry run, a dry run. It's the interesting thing about this particular kind of thing in this mind fuck and what you don't necessarily know until I'm going to say it now is I have, extensive skills in the kitchen.
Right.
So I'm going to utilize that and my sauces are unfucking believable. So I'm going to utilize that plus my complete and total love of all things spicy.
Aww.
And I'm going to figure out additional things to use in said figging experiences. Don't at me. Quit wrinkling your nose like you're smelling a fart.
So, go on.
So I
mentioned the component of accepting a mindfuck, and I'm not saying, you know, I mean, we, the things that we do are consensual, you know, it's not like you're like, hey, knock, knock, can I do X, Y, Z? But I think that, you know, in terms of when I say welcoming a mindfuck, I mean having that suspension of disbelief where instead of deciding that you're going to be resistant to every single thing that happens in relation to that mindfuck, just go with it. You know, what you just sent me? Yeah, it's, I'm trying to figure out, okay, why would she possibly need that? Number one. Number two, can I please remember if we ever had that conversation about like using that kind of thing and like what that conversation was? And what did I say? Did I say, hey, yes, let's do that? I'm so gung-ho.
No, you did not say that.
Right, okay. So,
you did not say you were gung-ho.
Right. So that's one portion of it.
You said you had significant resistance and anxiety.
Thanks. But the other portion of it is, I don't stop submitting, obviously, but I trust that whatever the outcome is going to be, it is not something that's going to harm me.
Well, and number one, I think that is truly key in any kind of a mind fuck back and forth. Obviously, you're not mind fucking me, but there has to be that element of trust. Without the trust, a mind fuck does not exist. You can't, I mean, you can mind fuck just a play partner or even just whatever, but it's not the same. Within the context, the confines of a relationship like we have, the mind fuck has a greater depth and meaning to it. But additionally, beyond that, to touch on one of the points that you made, You can call red, or you can say, hey, I'm not okay with that. If it's legitimately something that you're not okay with, even within our relationship, which is further along than it was, you know, a year ago and 2 years ago, it's a very different kind of relationship. You're much more a slave than a submissive than you used to be. I mean, the word is not necessarily there, but that's more of how our relationship has gone, which I don't know if that's general evolution of all relationships, but it's definitely how ours has gone. But even in that world, you could still say, hey, I mean, no, I don't want my ear cut off, for example.
Yeah, please.
Those are a lot of things that are pre-negotiated in contracts or a general understanding of what are hard limits. Now, that being said, you had hard limits that have gone away.
Yes.
Because of, okay, let's, you know, you trust me. All right, let's try this. Let's push these limits. Let's go and try new and different things. And you've done it, and you're blossoming in those areas. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, but that requires that, as you said, that trust. On the flip side of the trust, which is another kind of trust, is that you have to trust to make a mindfuck effective. You have to trust that I might actually do it. You know what I'm saying? I might actually use the things on you that I just texted you, which were scalpels, by the way. And that is, you know, when people are like scalpels, you know, it's a little scary. Or you might actually, you know, for example, one of the things when I haven't predetermined what it is I want to do, because sometimes I just don't. Sometimes I get busy. I don't have time to think about it. We end up at the dungeon. I just bring all of my toys because I never know what I want to do. I will literally lay everything out, everything that I know I can use on you. There's some things I'm never going to bring my whips out because, or sometimes I might, but I can't use them on you. I'm going someplace with this. And that is a mind fuck. It's like, fuck, she's going to use all of that? Or fuck, what
yes.
is she going to do? Or let's say within that, I know there's one toy you hate and it's there and I know you can see it. That's a mind fuck. I'll use it on you. You know that. So one time we were playing and you had on the Lycra, like, sensory depot hood, which isn't total sensory depot. It's just, you know, it makes it dark and it's a nice fitting and it's comfortable and you can breathe and blah, 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 blah. And it's got a little padded eye thing underneath. It's lovely, lovely little thing. Yay, stock room. And so, and you were also tied to a table and you couldn't move. And I don't know what I was doing, other things. I think I had your knees bent up and there was all things going on. There was things in your vagina and electricity going on. I pulled out a whip and just started cracking it, which I know is terrifying because you have a thing. Mm-hmm. But that was a part of it. Like, you were at some level, on some level, you were like, oh, fuck, she's gonna do it. And I didn't. I mean, I accidentally touched your arm with the whip. But just so you know, I had whipped myself several times in the process. Just because you're going to hit yourself with a whip. It's going to happen, especially in a small room. So, but it's one of those things where in that moment, you know, that's, you know, a mind fuck can be just that moment. It doesn't have to be the long game. It can be just that minute, which enhances the entire experience. I mean, for me personally, from the top perspective, the idea that I'm going to fuck with her is just, it gives me the warm feeling like I'm eating a warm, gooey brownie. It's just so num-num. It's one of those, I like that. That feels good. It feels powerful. And I'd be interested to see what it feels like on your side.
I think it's, it is forcibly exposing my vulnerabilities, because there's an element of it where it pushes fear onto you. I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, terror, but it could just be fear. You just don't know what's going to happen. But it ranges. It can range to that. And so I think that, you know, there's no better way to get closer to someone than to be vulnerable with them. And I try to do that as often as possible with you, not just when there's mindfucks, but mindfucks seem to magnify that. You know, they seem to really just expose me more than in any other way. You know, I don't feel as exposed when I'm doing service. Do I feel like I'm in service and I'm being subservient? Absolutely. I don't feel that way. I didn't feel that way when we did the puppet play. You know, but with mindfucks, it's like, no, this is, you are creating a situation in which I have to be that open. I have to be that vulnerable because I have to be prepared for whatever the fuck your sick mind came up with.
You say that with love though. Yes,
absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. I think I'm always curious because.
But here's just as a disclaimer, I'm an incredibly anxious person.
That's true.
So I have to take apart every single thing that is happening or that I am perceiving that is happening, even if nothing is actually occurring.
So, if something like that were to take you to that fear place in the middle of play, does that prevent you from getting to subspace?
I don't touch it quite as deeply.
You're kind of holding back.
Oh, yeah. Because while I know that you're going to keep me safe, you're not going to cause some irreparable harm, there's a part of me that feels like I have to stay grounded. It's kind of like when you were a kid and you got blindfolded. Well, you know, maybe not you. You got blindfolded and you were spinned around in front of the piñata and you kind of didn't know what was left and right. And you know, you don't have anything to brace yourself on. It's kind of like that. So there is a part of it that for me at least, it takes me a little bit. You know, with other stuff, with other play that we do, there's a lot of familiar components. You know, there's a lot of things that, we don't repeat our scenes. We don't. But there are some things, you know, certain toys or certain caresses, they're very familiar. So I get those are cues for me to say, okay, you know, it's like checking, you know, that's there. Okay. That's there. So I know I can go over here.
That's interesting. That's interesting because it, I mean, although that's not specifically on the topic of mindfuck, it obviously, I'm not invested in you going into subspace. It's like, okay, she went into subspace. I feel that it means that you trust me. But every scene shouldn't be that way, you know, because sometimes it's for me, which doesn't necessarily mean subspace for you. And so it's just interesting to have that because that means it's just more of a balance, more of a kind of a, how do I, as the top, balance those components? Because the mind fuck, it puts me into top space, like, like I soar. It's awesome. But obviously it wouldn't necessarily because you get into some weird spirally thing of anxiety and what's going on.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have that, you know, initially. I think, you know, a lot of it depends on, you know, where am I going and how. It's weird because when I see you get excited, that helps. You know, when I'm faced with like aggression and anger like that, it puts me on like really high alert. Like it is really hard for me to disassociate in any way at all. But, you know.
And yet, I mean, some of those scenes you really enjoyed.
Yes, which was going to be my next point. You know, you talk about how sometimes it's not for the subspace that I'm going to get, it's for you. And I think that there are some of those scenes, you're right, they're not there for the subspace. They are there to reinforce our relationship. I do not walk around in a constant state of subspace.
That would be weird.
That would be weird.
But I do walk and then we can all walk around in subspace.
Right. But I do walk around in a constant state of submission. That does not leave me no matter where I go or who I'm with. So I, you know, I look at scenes like that where I don't get subspace, but I feel like it reinforces our relationship. It promotes your role in my life for both of us. I don't have to have, I don't, that is something that I do have. I need that. I don't need subspace. Is it awesome? Yeah. But I need the constant reinforcement of our roles. You know, we live very different lives outside of the dungeon, you know.
It's grotesquely vanilla.
Grotesquely vanilla. We kind of sort of have like a family together. What the fuck?
You're that mom, though, by the way.
I'm not a bad mom.
You are. You make me be the bad mom. You make me be the mean mom. You're all not the time.
Oh, my God. That's not even true.
It's true.
It's not even.
It's like.
No, no.
I give you the look like, really? We're going to have this conversation? What are you negotiating with the children?
What? Awesomeness? Anyways. But, you know, in that, it is really hard for us to have the roles that we have in the rest of our life. So for me, if I'm going to miss out on subspace, but it's going to reinforce all our roles, I will take it. I'll take it. Because we need as much of that as we can get, you know? I'm sure top space is great for you. It's awesome, I'm sure, you know? And so then it comes down, then for me, it comes down to the question, you know, what of all of this, what is it that what drives our relationship? And so for me, like I look at situations like that when we're playing and I feel like those situations in which we're both very aware of what is happening, who is doing what, it helps that. And with subspace, sometimes it's a little hard to be aware.
Yeah, no.
You just feel gooey.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've seen it. No, firsthand, but I've seen it. Yeah, and I think one of the things, because you can't approach mindfuck without having all of this ancillary information in your mind. You know, there has to be some, you have to understand subspace and top space and your partner and when you're going through things and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And it can be, I mean, the best mind fucks often are incredibly subtle. They're incredibly subtle. And the truth is, they often happen in very vanilla settings because that's when, in my opinion, that's when I think it's the most, has the most impact. when, you know, whether I'm sending you a text or we are in a public vanilla setting, not even around kinky people, which, by the way, is exceedingly rare. But when that happens, when those moments when I whisper something in your ear, and it's not even just the little goofy raise play stuff that we do, but it's other things. I mean, anything like, you know, look up there, you know, wouldn't, you know, you should be shackled and hogtied or whatever. I don't know, something I just
come blah, 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 blah.
Or like, you know, sometimes I just send you pics, like Tumblr pics or whatever, or I tag you on in a Tumblr pic because, I mean, it's like, hey, and, you know, I know that gets you in the gooey soft spaces and stuff. It's not necessarily mind fuck, but sometimes it's like, okay, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also do kind of the bait and switch mind fuck, which is, you know, you set things up and it looks very predictable. You understand what's going to happen and then you change it entirely. That's always an interesting one.
So our friend Julie over from Fearless Submissive is listening.
Hi, Julie.
She texted me and she said that her sir once mind fucked her with a fucking grenade. A fucking grenade.
Okay. Is it weird that back to that original thing? He's not going to use the grenade.
No, he's not.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get it. That's like, whoa. Well, but
so she says that she didn't know it was shelled out and he acted like he was going nuts. And so, yeah. Right. Fucking crazy. I would flip out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have ammunition things. I have, you know, artillery kind of issues. But yeah, it's an idea. You could do all sorts of things.
Again, it ranges from, you know, little fear to terror.
Right. Right. I mean, and the truth of the matter is that her sir could easily be faking some sort of post-traumatic stress because he's former military. You know, I
could totally happen.
I couldn't. I mean, I could try, but of course, now after we have this conversation, I never can.
Exactly.
It's all done. I can never do that. I can never be like, post-traumatic stress from my marriage or whatever. I don't know. but I mean, yeah, again, it boils down to a lot of different things. I mean, I don't know. Here's the one thing. A mindfuck should be well thought out. It shouldn't be made when one is emotionally compromised.
Oh yeah.
Because a mind fuck is designed to tap into your partner's fears. And if you're emotionally compromised, that can go wrong very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know? A mind fuck is not, I'm going to take your collar off.
Uh-uh.
That's not a mind fuck. That's just fucked. You know, you have that conversation. If there's something happening, you know, and that, but you don't, you know, we have a mutual friend or not a mutual friend, somebody that has
somebody
that has a partner who removes her collar all the time when she's bad.
Yeah.
Quote unquote bad. And that's, I mean, it diminishes what that means. I mean, what are you going to take someone's wedding ring away? Take your wedding ring away. You're not married for this week, you know? And I've taken the collar off of you before for some very, very severe punishment.
Let's not talk about that.
No, but I mean, those were not done in mind fucks. Those were not done. And one time I did say, I was really, really angry with you. And I did say that today I felt like taking your collar off. Because I was being honest. I was telling you very honestly how I felt. And you needed to understand the severity of the situation. But it wasn't a mind fuck. It was I'm truth telling. That's what it boils down to. But, you know, it's not one of those things. You don't, there are certain sacred areas that you don't fuck with. Even in a mind fuck. Limits, you know, those kinds of things. Those are the areas you still don't fuck with. You know, I mean, you and I push your limits. It's what I do. It's a thing. It's a thing. And that's a good thing.
It is.
It's a good thing to do that.
But again, that came with time, you know.
Exactly. We didn't just meet last week.
Yeah.
And now you're colored and we're talking about these things. You know, it's a, the, we're, as you said, you told me the other day, we're 3 years in.
Yeah.
We're 3 fucking years in.
It's crazy.
It is insane. We're preschooler in.
My goodness.
I guess moving in was just a very natural progression to where we were.
I guess so.
I mean, in a vanilla relationship, you guys been together for that long? Why don't you live together? Well, I guess we do. We live together now. Suck it, bitches. Suck it, bitches who think I can't have a relationship.
Nobody thinks that. You're the only person that thinks that.
I was totally just talking to myself on the radio there. I'm so exhausted. Say something before I forget what I'm supposed to try to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, so one of the things that when you were talking about what mind fucks are not, and I think that there is a basic foundation that you should know about what can do harm, yes, physically, but I'm talking about emotionally. You know, we're always talking about how with different types of play, there's different landmines. And the ones for mindfuck are very similar to the ones in humiliation. Mm. You know, there are certain things that you just should not touch. Because all it takes is a few words to turn a fun time into an absolutely terrible time.
Mm. That happens in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You step on a trigger, essentially, and, well, there's a landmine. Well, that's how that happened. It doesn't take long, and it's on both sides. I've seen it in you, and you've seen it in me, and the person becomes a very different person.
Very different.
You know, it's like we snap, and it's like, what? And there's no reasoning, because you can't reason with that. That is a full-blown gut emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be prepared for that. Because it can happen. I mean, you have to be prepared for... I mean, that's like not even like, oh, here's, you know, a subby blanket. Let me give you a little bit of aftercare. No, that's like big...
Pat. No, that's not... Yeah, you need... yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with when things go wrong in mind fucks, I mean, the kind of care in handling it, it's not even just a day. I mean, it's not even just that moment. You have to, every single time for the next several times that you see the person, make sure, check in, you know, maybe lighten up the play or no play for a while. Maybe not no play, but lighten up the play, make it specifically very fun play. You need to, because at that point, both sides are gun shy. Mm-hmm. It's not just the bottom or the top or the person that got triggered. Both sides are gun shy. So then you need to stay in a comfort zone, whatever that is, of play, of chat, of whatever, to build, to let that damage that happened, let it heal, you know, and the truth is it's still there, but let it scar over and then you can maybe try again in another way.
Right.
But you have to go through that process. You really do. Otherwise, you damage, you know, you could do even more damage unbeknownst. And the truth is, I mean, for you, I mean, I'm sure, I know it's the same case for me, even in the top scenario. If I'm not ready, then I will be holding a lot back. And it alters the experience significantly when you're holding back, especially in BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
I think in BDSM is the one area where you really have to, you have to lay it all out and be truly vulnerable. I mean, it is a singularly intimate experience because of the way that it touches our hearts and minds. And that being said, I mean, when you're holding back, it's not the full depth and breadth that the experience should be.
Right.
So that's what I have to say about that. I was looking something up.
What were you looking up?
Mindfuck. Which came up to psychological manipulation. Which but, it is.
Well, it is, yeah.
It's psychological manipulation.
It absolutely is.
So apparently my ex-husband should be doing this show. No, I mean, it's totally. But in order to do psychological manipulation, you need to understand a little bit of psychology. I mean, absolutely. You could go for kind of the basic human fears. Death, pain. Well, not necessarily pain, but, you know.
Your nipple?
My nipple. You can go for my nipple. I dare you. You know, I mean, but it's fun. I mean, let's go for some other, like, more jovial and humorous mind-fucky things. I guess there's Mr. Shea had done a class on kind of the mindfuck subby games. And basically, she had somebody blindfolded, and she threw out, like, X number of balls or beans. And the subby had to find them. And she timed her. And if she didn't find one within a certain amount of time, she got a big old whack every single time, right? That's awesome.
That's crazy.
And I mean, to me, that's humiliation. But I could see how somebody could think that that's a mindfuck as well. Right. But another interesting kind of mindfuck is, let's say we were at a Dom Scouts meeting learning how to spank. Mm-hmm. And I made you learn how to spank, and I made you spank somebody. And you were like, I also made another one, another submissive. And she's like, but no, do this. And it was like, but the great thing is at the last meeting, the submissives didn't even ask. They knew that they had to do it. And so, but it was so cute. They were like, how do I do this? No, do it like this. It was just, it's so neat because they were in that moment where it's like, but I can't, I'm a submissive. I can't spank somebody. And then it's like, you're going to fucking spank somebody. And that is a mind fuck when you make somebody move into out of their comfort zone.
Right.
You okay?
I'm just itchy.
Why are you itchy?
Just.
What?
Just because. Just because. Just.
That's so cryptic. Fuck.
Just like you're making
a bigger deal than it is.
No.
Oh, people. I miss my hand, my thing.
Your
Donkey Shane. Oh, sorry. I don't know. I'm so glad there's no video tonight. Goofiness is through the roof.
I think one of those other mindfucks that also happens for a lot of people is, you know, that being given away or being sold, you know? And again,
that's a big fantasy for you too.
Yeah, but like, no.
You know that there is an annual slave auction in Los Angeles.
Anyways. But again, that's something that involves, you know, a little bit of, you know, suspension of disbelief, you know? Wyatt, stop that. Please.
There are people I could give you to.
Hey, lady, friend.
Say a weekend.
Hey, whoa.
I have ideas. Sorry, go on. Go on.
But yeah, so that's one of those really big fantasies for a lot of people. You know, I don't want to get into like, well, this is the real world implication of that. But, you know, again, it's taking something and making it seem a lot worse than what it's actually going to be.
Correct.
And I think that's what's key also is, you know, you tell someone you're going to do something terrible to them and you do something not as terrible.
Really? Because what I was thinking really was exactly what I just said. Pretty much texting you, say, hey, after work, you're going down to the House of Scorpion and you're there for the weekend. Don't text me while you're there.
Wow.
Because you don't belong to me for the weekend.
Hey. 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 That's not cool.
That's super cool.
That's not cool. That's not nice. It's not very nice at all.
I would give you to a mistress, though.
I know, but then saying you're not mine.
For the weekend. You're not.
I don't like that.
I'm just saying that would be the case.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, here's where, you know, rubber meets the road, where that fantasy gets tested. And this is another prime example of fantasy versus reality.
Exactly.
Where fantasy gets tested. I mean, and it's funny because a lot of people have these fantasies and you can mind fuck somebody like, I'm going to fucking kidnap you. Well, guess what? The logistics of kidnapping somebody are fucking nightmarish. Seriously nightmarish. I have tried to figure it out and you can't do it by yourself. You need fucking help for that shit and a van. I don't have a van. My trunk isn't cleaned out. Anyway, no, but I mean, but there's also a really, really large fantasy, big fantasy for submissive men is to be stripped of all of their power, all of their money, all of their control, and be forced into literal slavery where they have nothing. They don't even have clothes. That's what their life is day in and day out, and they have no recourse. That is a huge male submissive fantasy. It's just not practical. I mean, at some point they're like, hey, I'm a virile, strong, intelligent man with a job and taxes to pay. If I just drop off the grid, someone's going to report me missing. You know, I mean, just the reality is it's a huge difference. And there's a big difference between feeding a fantasy and mind fucking. So feeding a fantasy, sometimes I send you like Twitter pics or Tumblr pics or whatever. And a lot of that's feeding a fantasy.
Yeah.
Some of them are pushing well beyond your boundaries. And that's a little bit more of a, oh, that's scary. That's a mind fuck. It's when it gets into the fear. You have to cross beyond that level of comfort into absolute fear. Now, a man can have this fantasy about having everything stripped away, but if it started happening, then that fear would set in very quickly.
Yeah.
Because reality is like, what? Wait, what? What does that mean? I mean, I really don't get my paycheck. I have to actually give it over to you? Yes. That's what that means. Take someone who's retired, people, I'm just letting you know, that gets a guaranteed pension, because then you don't have to worry about them working. Pro tip. Well, I'm obviously reasoning this out in my head.
Obviously, wow.
So any retired people out there, hit me up, Insidious Muse. I'm awful. Thank God I don't believe in hell.
Oh, gosh.
No, but I mean, I think that's the big thing about mindfuck is that it has to have fear. It has to. We've all been in those vanilla relationships, or even non-vanilla relationships. We've all been in those relationships where the other partner threatens to leave because it's a ploy, because they want you to beg them to stay. We've all been in that. And it's like, you know, in the first, I don't know, couple times, there's fear. It's like, no, don't. And that's very much kind of mind-fucky.
Yeah.
But then after that,
fucked.
Yeah. Well, it's fucked and mind-fucky. But then, you know, after the third or fourth, you're like, then fucking go, because I am done with your drama. Mm-hmm. At least that's where I go. I don't know where the rest of the people go, because it doesn't take many. I'm not even a three-timer. It's like after twice, I'm kind of done. It just doesn't work for me. But, I mean, we've all been there where we've experienced that, and it has to have that element of fear. Once that element of fear is gone, you know, like, example, I can only mind fuck you so many times in the same thing. Once I do it or don't do it, either you know, well, she's not going to actually do it. Or I do it and you're like, ooh, that was fun. So that I have to take that off my mindfuck table. I have to keep building up my mindfuck table. Because, you know, you change, I change, your experiences change, our collective lives change, and therefore we have to evolve. And that which scares us evolves as well. I mean, we do have base fears, but I generally don't like tapping into base fears because that has a very different reaction. Very different reaction that I would not recommend. I mean, for example, I imagine Julie's reaction to the grenade tapped into a very base reaction. I mean, it was deep down. There was a lot, I mean, there was legitimate fear, not just for her life, but for his life. For, you know, there was a lot that had, and that's, it's just, it's, for me, that's not a positive experience. For me, that would require extensive amounts of, I don't know, therapy. You know, I mean, that's just my thing. Sorry, I love you, Redemption. But, you know, that's just my thing. And so I try to avoid the real deep basic ones. I mean, I know your history. I know it all. I'm not going to tap into those black places. I'm not, unless I feel that on some level you can handle a component of it. You know, I'm not going to give you to a man ever. That's one of those dark places. I would never do that. Even the forced hetero we talk about, I'm there, and it's entirely directed by me, and you know that. So that doesn't tap into that dark fear. There's a fear because there's a man there at all, but it's not that black place. Does that make sense? And I think that that's also when, I mean, you can go too far in any play. But in this, I mean, you really risk not just damaging the other person, but losing your relationship altogether, because it's all based on trust.
Right.
Entirely. So either I go too far and I tap into these things and you're like, wow, I can't trust her. And that starts the eventual erosion and complete, you know, decimation of the relationship. Or I make these mindfuck threats, and don't do them. And then you're like, well, she's not going to fucking do them. And that begins the erosion of the relationship. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to, you know, you have to kind of balance it. Play, how is this going to work? How's this not going to work? You know, it's that's just my thing.
Oh.
And again, I'm strange.
No, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you.
I don't know.
I think one of the things that helps out is having a fantastic imagination, being creative. You know, don't stick to what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Keep the other person's safety in mind, obviously, but don't stay comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna make you a little bit uneasy, you know, yeah. Just a little bit.
I've been comfortable. I don't like it. And I don't know what to do about that. I'm not saying that I'm like the most skilled person on the planet. I'm certainly not. But I'm looking at what is there and what I know and what is left to know, like of skills, of known play. I don't have a lot left. Makes me sad. You know, so I don't know what that means, but I'll figure it out. I'll do something fucking wacky. That's the way that goes. But yeah, you have to. Creativity is the key, I believe, truly, truly, to any longevity in BDSM.
Right.
Creativity, because I'm making up words now instead of actually saying them. It's one of those things where, I mean, the truth is, if we get bored with something, we stop doing it.
Yeah.
And people that are attracted to BDSM are generally more intelligent, as we went through this whole study that was done, and enjoy the creative aspect of it. I mean, we've evolved often from this, from we get bored of just the same sex. And so it evolves into this. And then we start realizing, oh, this arouses me. You know, and so that's kind of the impetus. And therefore, we have to continue. We have to force ourselves. I have to force myself to do things that I may not necessarily be totally comfortable with in order to continue to evolve, to grow, to change, to become what I didn't think that I could be. You know, I never, ever, 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 ever thought we would be here doing intellectual kink, doing a show.
No.
Never, 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 never. So it's like, oh, wow, my God, that's awesome. It's totally we're here. But this doesn't mean like we're done.
No.
We're not done. There's still more.
Just, you know, what's next?
Exactly. What is next? I don't know.
And that is the mindfuck of life, really.
It's true. It's true. It is the mindfuck of life. And the interesting thing about that in general, mindfucks in general, is you can choose the route of anxiety. You can choose the route of excitement. That is an absolute choice. That fear is fear, and it's fear, and it doesn't necessarily have to have any either of those implied in it. But you can be fear excited or fear anxious. And fear anxious, I think, is taking it not necessarily in the best road. It's not going to give you towards the best place.
Right.
But fear excited, you know, once you have a relationship built upon the kind of trust that, say, you and I have or some of our friends have, then you know that it's going to be a more likelihood of fear excited, because there's a shared history of good times, of enjoyment, of looking out for one another. And that's going to be more likely the case. If there's a shared history of, wow, they're going to fuck with me again, you might tend more towards the anxiety. You might want to relook at your relationship. But it for me, I mean, I have to have that kind of excitement. I mean, I'm going to still get excited if I mind fuck with somebody. It's just fun. I mean, oh gosh, some of my fun ones, inspections. I used to, I like to inspect new boys. My favorite one was, and I'll do this quickly, was we met at a closed public wildlife sanctuary.
Oh,
I mean, it was,
yeah.
Yeah, and we had never met before. We had done this all this chatting on the Twitter, and I said, you know, show up. And it was October and freezing out for us in LA, meaning it was like 55. And I made him show up and lay out a blanket and put on a hood so that he was basically blind. And then I showed up and he didn't. I could have fucking been anybody. And then I fully inspected him. I stripped his clothes off of him. I did all these things to him. I made him get on all fours. I penetrated his ass. I mean, it was a full scene. Him fully hooded. And then when I was done, I got my car and drove away. And that was it. It was a total mindfuck from beginning to end. It was awesome. It was such a great experience for me. I mean, for him too. He had a fantastic time. But it was one of those, I mean, it was just one of those once in a lifetime experience where you're like, I want to do that again. But now that I've said it on the radio, I can never do it again. God damn it. This is why I can't have nice things. But I mean, the concept, I mean, using hoods and stuff is a great way to explore the mind fuckery of play. Because obviously they can't see and they can't hear necessarily as well. I mean, unless it's a full sensory depot hood, then they can't hear at all. And that's another way to mind fuck someone. You know, we've all gone to those stupid haunted houses back in, you know, high school, whatever. They're, you know, put your hands in this, it's brains and it's spaghetti. You know, these are eyeballs and they're grapes. You know, I mean, but yeah. It's amazing how powerful the mind is at making something, whatever. We're so susceptible to feeding our minds information and us taking it someplace else. Right. And that's really the essential of understanding a mind fuck. You know, go watch some Hitchcock. That bitch, he knew how to fuck a mind. Is that what that? I was wondering you were texting. Oh, wow. Done.
Thank you, Amazon.
Fuck yeah. Amazon sells everything. I love me some Amazon. It was fast. Look at that. Even before show end.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, any last final words on mind fuckery?
You know, I just really want to reiterate how vulnerable it makes you and how that vulnerability strengthens your relationship. Mm. I think vulnerability in any kind of relationship definitely strengthens it. You know, there's already kind of this societal fear about being vulnerable and showing your emotions and being honest. You do that and you get raw with someone, that's, you are truly letting them in.
No, it's, I think that when you took away my, I thought you were going to go on longer. I was going to graffiti something. it's true. And it's funny because a lot of people perceive when they talk about vulnerability in DS, they believe that it means it's vulnerability specifically on the submissive side. And that is not a true statement at all. I believe very, very strongly that the dominant needs to be vulnerable as well in order for it to be effective. Not necessarily like you can cause me damage or whatever, but emotionally, you've seen me emotionally vulnerable.
Yes.
You know, and did that not strengthen our relationship?
Yes.
See, that's my point.
Yes.
And it wasn't even calculated. You know, not everything has to be calculated.
No.
No. See? So that's the point. I mean, I don't know how I would be vulnerable in a mindfuck. I'll think about that. It's mostly you're vulnerable in the mindfuck. But it's about understanding that give and take. You have to be vulnerable to gain the trust. And then once you gain the trust, then you can fuck. Mindfuck.
Oh.
I mean, you can fuck before you trust. I mean, fuck. Yeah. People do that all the time. Hello, swingers parties. Hello, glory holes. What is this? Why we can't have nice things?
Yes.
Because you, I keep talking.
You are why we can't have nice things.
Fuck you, bitch. All right. Well, we're about out of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is Intellectual Kink. Follow us on the Twitter at Kinkellectual, or I'm at Insidious Muse.
I'm at Service Slut.
You know, review us on iTunes, share us, you know, give us ideas, talk to us. Talk to us, people.
We'll talk more to her because I'm not anywhere ever.
That's not a me thing. That's a you thing.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter's best for me. I mean, you can hit me up on FetLife, but I'm really sorry for all the people that have sent me messages and I haven't responded.
Oh my God.
It's nothing personal. I literally just don't check. And when I do and they're long messages, I'm like, ah. But anyway, so we love you all. We really, really do.
We really do.
All right. Bye.